Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
Do you know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
The Morning Shift is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Welcome to The Morning Shift. Rob Tribble in for Tiffany. We got Squid, we got Mike, we got Day Day. We have no Dylon. Where's Dylon?
He's in Brazil.
Brazil. Are you serious?
Yeah, he's going to cheer on his favorite team, the Eagles.
Man, don't say that. We can't have that label be put on this show.
That bastion of free speech and democracy, that is Brazil. Well, gentlemen, it is here. Week one is finally here. Falcons getting ready to host the Steelers, and that means, more importantly, Falcons flyover. It's back.
I was going to say, do you want me to do it for real? It's a Friday. Falcons Friday.
We didn't need that.
It's a fair foul Friday, more importantly, too.
It is a fair foul Friday.
Going to do some picks. Going to what?
We'll do some deep dive football stuff and fair foul. Always love playing with the old Robbie T when it comes to fair foul, man. Where's the flyover at on Sunday?
What's the new one?
It's called the Nest. Right,
is it the Signia?
Signia at the Hilton, that new Hilton property.
That's gonna be sick, man.
Isn't the bar called the Nest? I think though.
Could be.
Sounds right.
So please feel free to show up and ply me with shots. After what will hopefully be a Falcons victory. I thought that 4-0 lead that the Braves squandered in Philadelphia last night was just awful. But hey, we got Luke Jackson and Sean Murphy for the stretch run, so anything's possible, gentlemen.
Okay, that's the worst Braves loss last night, if we want to get this out of the way.
Oof.
Because don't tell me anything else other than the fact that you had a guy with almost a 5 ERA who had given up 27 home runs, to a power hitting team, and you measled up one run behind 6 innings and 11 strikeouts from Ronaldo Lopez. I don't want to hear that he gave up 2 home runs. I don't want to hear any of that crap. I don't, because that is a premier start in today's Major League Baseball. And I am sick of seeing Luke Jackson on the mound. And I know that
Brian, both Lukes. Can we just get the both Lukes are wearing on me, man?
I know what I have always been a defender of Luke Jackson. Always liked him. I know what Snicker's doing. You're trying to keep guys fresh. I can't see him in a one-run game ever, because he just isn't that guy right now.
Well, guess what? Keep trotting him out there in close ball games. You'll be able to keep everybody fresh, because you're going to be home very early. And last night, NFL season, well, the Ravens lose by a toe.
I don't even know. That was a toenail. That was a toenail clipping.
Toenail. Isaiah Likely just couldn't quite keep it in bounds. Fun game to watch, though.
Dude, and great game.
And the Ravens, clearly the Chiefs might be in their head now after losing the AFC Championship game last year. And, of course, everybody's complaining about seeing Taylor Swift online.
Saw people complaining? I didn't see anybody.
I saw some complaints.
I was like kind of on the lookout for it. But I had a busy night last night, so it wasn't something I got to see a lot of. But I thought, nobody's complaining anymore, right? I mean, who cares at this point?
I saw people already freaked out about the Chiefs' offense.
Yeah.
For us, in like 3 weeks, I'm like, hey, how about we get through Pittsburgh and Philadelphia first, and then we can concern ourselves with what, you know, Kansas City may or may not be at that point.
Well, they brought in some speed. Who's that rookie that ran
Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, 2 touchdowns last night. His first touch as the Chiefs scored
the
touchdown.
I
have him on one of my fantasy teams, not the one I'm with Mike, and I even reached out to Bo Johnson about some advice. Hey, should I start him as a flex or not? And he's like, nah, I don't know what he's going to do. And I know your other player is going to get Kyle Pitts. He's going to get some targets. So I sat 20 points last night. Just frustrating.
Yeah, we have Travis Kelce in our lineup, and he was projected to get 12 and got like 4.
Four last night. 4 for 35.
And good for them, man. I mean, you saw, you know, Rashee Rice and J.J. Smith-Schuster and all the other weapons that they have at their disposal for Kansas City, and it seemed like other than Travis Kelce, Pacheco, I mean, all the weapons they have going on there is like, Travis Kelsey's not going to be featured
tonight.
Well,
Falcons got to have to deal with the Steelers, but what is that, week 3, you're going to have to defend every blade of grass when the Chiefs come into town, certainly. And, what is it, Rice has a specter of, 8 felonies hanging over his head, and he's still playing, but that's that commissioner's exemption rule. Okay, whatever.
Where did Isaiah Likely come from? Because Mark Andrews looked like an afterthought last night in that Ravens offense, and Isaiah Likely had a very good game. In fact, I mean, 9 catches, 111 yards. It could have been 10 for like 120-something and 2 touchdowns instead of just 1.
Well, I guess you talk about Snit keeping guys fresh. I guess Derrick Henry they're trying to keep him fresh, I suppose. What do you have, 4 carries after he scored the touchdown? What, 4 carries in the second half? They get in the red zone, he's not even in there?
Yeah, well, I guess you cannot accuse Todd Monken of not giving the ball to Lamar Jackson in the running game, because they ran Lamar 16 carries is I'll say it. I don't know if you want him carrying the ball 16 times a game.
No, of course you don't.
Now you're going to see 16 carries and you're going, he scrambled. No, like a lot of those were designed touches, and he had, you know, a lot of runs. And I'll be honest, and maybe I missed it on the 16. I'm not sure I saw him slide once. You know, it was all like first, you know, head first dives, trying to truck people on his way out of bounds. And I'll say this much for Lamar. He's a slimmed down Lamar. He lost some weight in the offseason. He looked explosive.
He did.
Explosive.
But I thought
the whole
point of that offense, you could have Derrick Henry going one way and the specter of Lamar Jackson going the other way, but we didn't see enough Derrick Henry. It's like,
well,
Todd Monken outsmarted himself.
Now, I will say this. Justice Hill is still a talented dude out of the backfield, and he had a number of catches last night. I think he ended up with like 50 receiving yards.
Yeah, he had 6 for 52, but he only had 1 carry.
Yeah, but I think that lends itself to what you're trying to get done offensively. I guess my point is, we can sit here and nitpick all we want to with the Ravens. They, like you said to start, though, they were a toenail away from, you know, tying that game. We're not tying the game. They were going to go for 2. They were going to go for 2 at the end.
Go for 2 on the road, don't you? Go for the win on the road.
You don't need the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands in overtime. No, thank you.
Can I come back, though, to something? And I want to kind of explore this conversation a little bit. Well, you said that they weren't scrambles as much as they were designed carries. But on the flip, if Lamar was scrambling a lot, wouldn't you tone down the design carries to keep him fresh?
Well, I mean,
I know that wasn't the case last night, but I'm saying if that was the case, wouldn't you, as an offensive play caller, kind of not continue to use him if he's already running it so much?
It's a tough thing, though, because you could tell yourself, I want to tone down the design carries, and then he could not scramble one more time for the rest of the game. You know what I mean? It could be one of those things where he just starts throwing it and throwing it this way and throwing it that way, and he's not scrambling. So then you're like, you get to the end of the game, and you look at, you know, the ball distribution and the play distribution, you're like, man, we should have ran it more. Like,
can't keep the Ferrari parked in the garage.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, and there's always going to be that outlook, and I'm sure that they're going to do a lot of self-diagnosis the way that teams always do when you lose, especially in week one. But they're a very, very good football team, and that's the one thing that I would say if you're a Baltimore fan, that's a good team. You lost to the freaking Chiefs week one in Arrowhead. I don't think that that's that bad of a thing, and you lost by a toenail. So, it is what it is. I think Lamar is going to have a lot of success this year with his legs, and hopefully he can keep from getting dinged up, because that slider build, man, that's whew.
What happened on third down where Zay Flowers is standing there wide open in the end zone? And,
oh, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, was that a bat? Because I watched that play like three times, and I still can't, the way the camera shot was it. We need the all 22 on it, but what? Was he caught off guard by where the ball was, or did Lamar just flat out miss him?
Here's what I think happened, and this is what happens sometimes when you're kind of scramble drill mode, which Lamar was kind of scrambling, right? Is that sometimes when you're in scramble drill, you're let's just say you're a receiver and you go to a spot and you're looking for an open window, right? You're looking for the quarterback to be able to see you. You sit down in that window, and then all of a sudden you see him start scrambling. And what do? You try to catch his eyes again. So maybe if you're Zay Flowers in the back of the end zone, you were standing there still, and then all of a sudden you start to break left, and Lamar just saw you standing still and throws it to where you were. I think that's why, I think it was just a split second, like, oh, I've got to show him my numbers. Oh, man, he threw it to where I was. So, and it's frustrating, but it's just the nature of the beast.
Yeah, we got some college football to touch on. Georgia Tech. It's never easy for anybody when you go to the Carry Dome and play Syracuse. Ask Clemson all those years. They were ranked number one, and Syracuse can give you fits, but Tech can really assert themselves and prove that they are deserving of being a ranked team. They got to go get the win tomorrow. Georgia's got Tennessee Tech. What is that, a 2 o'clock game or whatever? Not a whole lot of great games. You were talking about, though, there is some weird, weird out-of-conference matchups.
SEC. One that really,
yeah, Mississippi State.
Mississippi State at Arizona State.
At Arizona State.
Cal at Auburn. Yep. You got Tennessee and NC State. Arkansas at Oklahoma State. I mean, in a battle of...
Those are old rivals, right?
But yeah, I was going to say, in a battle of regional teams with billionaire backing. there's just a random game when you look at that one. There's a number of those, man. It's just a weird schedule, and I think Bama's got South Florida this weekend, but then Wisconsin next weekend up at Camp Randall. So that's another one to kind of tack onto the back end of it. Just an interesting slate of games against teams you don't normally see face off with one another.
Did you enjoy the Miami and the Florida game last week?
I did not. next question.
Oh man, you know, it's Rob like got out of here.
Next question.
Rob, we did a segment on Monday called Man Up, where we played back me and Bo's picks from last Friday and kind of measured them up against what actually happened. You got to escape that, man. We didn't get to actually see you on Monday and play back all your stuff.
Oh, I was wrong. Yeah.
That's why it's called,
dude.
Man Up.
Yeah, dude,
man. It's called Man Up.
I'm accountable. I'm wrong.
We were, I was wrong twice, and one of them was egregious. I was just like way over the top with it. But you know what?
Florida game. Yeah, that's okay, man. It happens. You let your fandom bleed through. I mean, there's a good chance over the next few weeks I'm absolutely wrong on Falcons football. But you know what? I'm just soaring right now.
We'll have a shot for a corrective emotional experience today, because I am back with you guys on Monday. I believe.
Well, you get to man up then.
I'll
Monday
have to
with
man
us.
Up with my picks. Yes, today, so I'll do it.
I am very curious about a lot of things Sunday. I'm also curious of what the one thing people are kind of expecting out of Sunday. Like, what are you looking for Sunday?
Competence on offense, a quarterback that can release the ball at the appropriate time to the open guy, moving the ball down the field in spite of a really good Steelers defense. We don't know what the Steelers are offensively. We have no idea.
Well, now that Russell Wilson is
got that calf
is was limited yesterday.
Yep.
I have no fear whatsoever of the Steelers offense, which is probably arrogant, but their defense. I went through it yesterday. There's a playmaker or two at every level.
All three levels. Yep.
There is. And it's not. It's intimidating to look at.
We don't. I know we're up against it. We don't have time to get to it right now. There is one player that I will be absolutely glued to, and it's not a big name. There is one player for the Atlanta Falcons that I will be absolutely glued to on Sunday.
Well, we're going to use that to. I am intrigued.
Yeah. Yes, you should
I am intrigued. So we're going to get into that next and hear from the likes of Drake London, Grady Jarrett, and I guess Kirk Cousins as well. Falcons Steelers, 1 o'clock Sunday, right here, Sports Radio 1990 game. Oh, and by the way, Falcons flyover 6 o'clock. From that beautiful new Hilton property right across from Mercedes-Benz. Sports Radio 1990 Game.
This is Boomer Esiason with the Sportsman Ed. What an unlikely way to start.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The NFL season, just when it seemed
With Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baby, welcome back to The Morning Shift on this Friday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Falcons getting ready for what we hope will be a corrective emotional experience. 1 o'clock kickoff hosting the Steelers. And both teams, of course, a lot of unknowns, a lot of new faces for the Falcons. New quarterback for both teams. Steelers have not won a playoff game since January 15th, 2017. So they're feeling a certain way.
Dang.
It's interesting to see that fan base when you read like the fan sites. They're neither overwhelmed or underwhelmed. They're just whelmed.
They're just there.
They're just kind of there.
Yeah. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. All right.
It's like everybody has to say that before, you know, has it run its course?
But, well, I'm not saying it's run its course, but he's never won a playoff game without Roethlisberger.
Yep.
He's struggled without Roethlisberger. Now, the fact that they were a playoff team last year was a testament to him and what he is, you know, their record and everything. But, you know, if he continues to – they continue to miss on the quarterback, do they get impatient with him?
I mean, because eventually it's on him. Like, the thing that you see around the NFL is where it's like, well, you know, this guy's a defensive guy. You know, it's the GM, this, that, and the other. Eventually, man, we've had the same conversation about Arthur Smith last year. Well, was it Arthur Smith or was it Desmond Ridder? Maybe it was, you know, 50-50, but that 1% to sway your vote one way or another comes down to the fact that Arthur Smith believed in Desmond Ridder. I mean, that's what it basically comes down to. So the head coach has to be the one responsible in the end because he's the one in charge of all of the, you know, all of the above. And so I'm with you, man. I have so much respect for Mike Tomlin. Met him at the Combine, had a great conversation with him, sat in one of their hotel rooms. Mean Joe Green's in there, like all these other people.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy,
dude.
Yeah. It was nuts, man. He's like sitting there with a sports coat on with Timberlands, and, you know, this is, of course, 15-some-odd years ago. But he's just a good dude, man, and I'm rooting for him. But I am with you. You do wonder. You talk about the timeline of, obviously, head coaches in Pittsburgh. You got to be successful at some point, right?
Well, isn't it different to miss on a rookie than miss on two veteran quarterbacks that you brought in that you said one of these is our guy?
If you miss on two veteran quarterbacks, that's
like, right though. I mean, I know what they are. Like, if you can't tell me that Mike Tomlin wasn't in on the decision to bring in Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, and look, they might work. I'm not saying they won't, but if they don't, he has got to be blamed for some of that.
I mean, I'm with you, but I look at it from a contractual standpoint, right? When you make the money plays that you do at the quarterback position, if you can get just enough from quarterback and you can pay every other freaking position because you're not paying a quarterback, then I think that's kind of how he looks at it. He looks at his guys that are on defense and some of the other elite players we've already talked about, and he goes, pay these dudes. All right, let's see if we can make magic happen, which is – honestly, exactly what Arthur Smith tried to do last year. Just didn't work out.
Well, Grady Jarrett was asked about the new guys, Mr. Judon and Simmons. And he kind of took a page out of Mel Gibson and Braveheart when he told his troops, just be yourselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's early. You know, at the end of the day, what they brought to the team is, you know, high level of skill. I mean, their resume speaks for themselves. So guys respect them off showing up. But I mean, I think those guys both will tell you. I mean, they want to go out there, play their best ball, and other guys are buying into that too. So I mean, we just I don't think we're doing a search on, like, you know. Like, what, it's just a natural thing, is what I'm saying. So it's going to happen naturally, and them just being their best selves is all we need.
You know, I'm interested in seeing, you know, since clearly Falcons defense is very familiar with what Arthur Smith's tendencies are. How much of a wrinkle and how much of a different look will Arthur Smith try to give the Falcons since they do know him so well?
Well, and here's the one thing I will give credit to, because it always didn't happen last year, but Arthur Smith, I think he did do a good job of trying to play to his player's strengths in certain situations. I mean, when you look at – he doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, for what he tried to do with Jonnu Smith, right? I mean, Kyle Pitts, not doing all the right things as an inline blocker. Hey, let's line him up out wide, see if he can block a corner on a screen. That didn't work out, so let's run him on go routes, run the corner off. I mean, he tried to do with his strengths, so I think that you'll see some of that. Hey, what does this guy do well? What does that guy do well? And the Falcons will have to react to that.
I thought he's always done that. I thought that was the thing that – was intriguing to me when he came from Tennessee, was how he took Derrick Henry from a guy who was splitting carries to, you know what? No, you're a bell cow. You're a feature back. Let's do that. The problem for me was that I didn't feel like he did that with a quarterback, because I don't think you're playing to a young Desmond Ridder's strengths by having him drop back in two-man pass routes that are long, slow and long developing in max protect. I just didn't think that really did him many favors, because you're putting him up to either force it or take a sack.
I do want to get to what we teased before the break just a little bit too, because there's one guy offensively that I will be locked in on. I think Bo already knows it. Rob, you want to take a guess? He's not even technically a starter the way that the Falcons line up their starters. But
you're going to tell me.
Yeah, Charlie Warner, right?
Ah.
Tight end two, but actually kind of an H-back, fullback kind of role. I am so intrigued with what they're going to do with a guy like that. He's an inline blocker, can line up on the line of scrimmage. We've seen him so many times, it seems like throughout training camp, doing the backfield motion, inserting in the line of scrimmage. You know, he runs search plays where we'll kind of peel back from the front side of a formation and insert in the backside B gap and kind of block for the cutbacks.
What's he going to do, you think? Because he didn't get the ball much in San Francisco. He's a blocker.
Well, that's my thing. And I want to see how they utilize him as a blocker and what actual skill areas they do. And Bo and I were talking about the Chiefs last night and how good of a job they did with, is it?
It's Gray? Noah Gray.
Noah Gray.
They just re-signed, yeah.
And he's the same kind of guy, right? Mm. Noah Gray is an inline blocker. He's, you know, he's not going to have the yards and the catches that a Travis Kelce does, but the way they utilize him, quick screen game, you know, chipping on his way out, maybe catch a ball in the flats or over the middle. To me, Charlie Warner, I think it was very, very savvy that they go out and sign a guy like that because of the multiple things you can do with him inside this offense and the way he kind of unlocks things. So I think a lot, hey, Kyle Pitts, I think he's going to have a great year. Drake London, this. I think the guy that unlocks everything to me will be how Zach Robinson utilizes Charlie Warner and what role he has offensively, because everybody else, Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray-Ray McCloud, Tyler Allgeier, whatever it is, Charlie Warner is the one guy, I think, in the centerpiece that really is doing a lot of the dirty work that most people so won't be focused
you
on.
You focus on those big names the Falcons have on offense. Charlie Warner's the guy come out and get you that 3rd and 12 is what you're saying.
Yes. I just think that he's the guy that when you see the Falcons have an 8-yard gain from Bijan, he's probably going to be lead blocking, yeah. Right? When you see you know, the Falcons pick up a 3rd and 12, Charlie Warner's probably going to be chipping on the way out, right? He's going to be trying to get the defense of T.J. Watt's ribs. He's just the guy to me that he won't have the numbers. You won't pay attention to what his stat line is, but he will tell you a lot of what this offense will be kind of based around moving forward.
Yeah, I think if, you know, anybody that was impressed with Kansas City did, you know, that's a good film study for you if you want to do that. I thought that was cool when you and I were talking about this morning. For me, it's Ray-Ray McCloud. Is a guy that I think he is so underlooked by this fan base. He's not even – I've had guys tell me, oh, well, he wouldn't even see the field if it wasn't for Rondell Moore's injury. And I'm going to tell you something. That ain't true, because Rondell Moore – was the one running with the twos before he was injured. Ray-Ray McCloud was running with the ones. He was doing things. I wonder if they could use, if you want to compare him to people you saw last night, how much does he get used even with a carry like Xavier Worthy did last night?
Right. No, I think you're spot on, and Xavier Worthy's got length over what Ray-Ray McCloud is, obviously a smaller body. But, look, man, and that's what's intriguing to me when you look at our wide receiver core. It's every single one of them has a different skill set. Right, every single one of them is different. I honestly, to be honest with you, Bo, I would look more for Darnell Mooney to kind of be in the Xavier Worthy role, because I think that's exactly what he fits as far as him running, you know, being a low 4.3 speed and longer body, big strides, you know, getting into rounds and things like that. I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch in that role.
How drastically different is the offensive philosophy this year compared to Arthur Smith, you think?
I don't think it's as drastic as most people want to think, right? Because we've talked about this before. It's the same offensive line, same offensive line coach. And from what I've seen, for the most part, it looks like they've kind of, Zach Robinson's kind of stepped to Dwayne Ledford, the line coach, and been like, what do we do well? Let's kind of stick with that.
Yeah, if I have to hear another person tell me, they're going to be an 11 personnel a lot this year, it's going to be way different, I might put my head through this double pane glass window we have up here, because I think people just make up stuff because they think it's going to be an air raid type offense, because for some reason in their head they think that's what LA has done with Sean McVay, and it's not really accurate. I mean, how dependent is San Francisco and LA on the tight ends and the H-back type usage of a Noah Gray, like Kansas City use, and you go to Kansas City? I think it's, this offense to me is going to be, I would like to think, a chameleon each week, and to where it's going to shift based on what the other team does well.
I'll be honest with you, I'm expecting a lot of 11 personnel. I mean, because that's what that is. When you look at
that's become a cliche thing to say, because people just want to throw it out there because they heard someone else say it, and there's no substance behind it. I think just because they're in that personnel doesn't mean they're not running the football.
Well, and that's the thing is, too, and this has kind of been talked about to our blue in the face, but 11 personnel for the Atlanta Falcons doesn't necessarily mean 11 personnel for everybody else. It doesn't mean Charlie Warner's in the game. It means Kyle Pitts might be in the game as 11 personnel, and you might be, you know, doing a lot of different things with him. So this is a team that 11 personnel can mean multiple things.
Especially based on who your quarterback is.
Exactly.
And that's kind of the point, is I think it's just, well, what do you think is going to be different with the offense? They're going to lose a lot of 11 personnel, and then that's it. Like, well, what do you mean? What does that mean? And I don't think anyone knows. I think it's going to be an offense that is based on what you're going against each week.
I still think it's a lot more 11 personnel than it was 21 like last year, but all the things they did out of 21 last year will be done out of 11 this year. Wide zone with Charlie Warner either, you know, sliding to the backside or, you know, attach the line of scrimmage on the front, chipping up to the next level, inserting. I mean, that's – you can do a lot of different things with two different tight ends, because that 11, that's one tight end. But Kyle Pitts, way different than Charlie Warner. And they might be the same kind of personnel group, so you never know.
I'm going to really keep an eye on Charlie Warner on Sunday. I didn't really think about him. That's fascinating.
Well, he was one of the most excited. Zach Robinson was the most excited about adding him when I talked to him off the record as anybody.
That shows his versatility. All right, we're going to come back and make some picks. And also, the greatest tie in NFL history. And it happened 22 years ago between the Falcons and Steelers. That's coming up next on the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Morgan. And Morgan, by the way, there you go, Day-Day.
Ding.
Sports Radio, 99 again.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of the Morning Shift. The Morning Shift is brought to you by Greater Atlanta Erie McDonald's. Download the app for great deals.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
We're going to get to the – welcome back to the Morning Show. We're going to get to the craziest tie in NFL history involving the Falcons and Steelers on November 10th, 2002. But we got some picks to do, don't we, gentlemen?
You're going to get to man up with us Monday, man.
I'll have to man up because I'm back with you on Monday, fresh off. I'll be hungover after the Falcons flyover, hopefully after a victory.
Yeah.
At the Signia property of Signia Hilton Hotel right there next to Mercedes-Benz. I'll be hitting the airways about 6 o'clock. So come by and say hello and psychotically leer at me.
Enjoy that while you can, man. Enjoy that airtime while you can before we get to the Sunday night and Monday night games for the next couple of weeks.
I think you're going to have a crowd too, because
I think so too.
I saw that parking sold out for the game Sunday, which means there might be people waiting to leave because of traffic. They might walk over and have a drink. There might be people waiting and saying they don't want to ride MARTA and they're going to take Uber or Lyft and they want to wait. And so I think. And I've been to that bar when it's packed, that the Nest on 4 in the Signia. So
how nice is that place? I haven't been in there yet.
Phenomenal. They've got like a mini halo board like you'll see in the stadium around. It is a nice place. We stayed at the hotel for Zach Bryan, and we went there after the concert. And it's nice, man. Really
nice. Make
sure
you have those TVs glued to the Land Motor Speedway. They'll be on the tube probably.
That's right. They're running down there in Hampton this weekend.
Land Motor Speedway, man. Big race.
All right, gentlemen, you want to do some picks, shall we?
Let's rage.
Mike, what you got? What you going to start with?
Well, I was going to say, let's start with the college football game of the week between the three of us. Let's go up to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and pick Texas against Michigan. I don't know what you guys have seen. This line everywhere for me has bounced back and forth between 7, 7.5, and 8. But right now on CBSSports.com, and I believe they use Sportsline, it's showing at 7 for me. And I absolutely love Texas minus the points. I know Michigan still has an elite defense. I saw this play out last year when Texas came in to Alabama and absolutely wiped the floor with guys like Xavier Worthy. Not the same receiver core, but I still think Sarkisian gets it done up in Michigan this weekend.
Not so fast, my friend.
Uh-oh.
Texas 38.
Oh.
Michigan 21.
Yeah. Well, we made the same pick, so yeah.
Yeah, but they're covering.
It was so fast.
You said elite defense. I don't think it's going to be elite on Saturday, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you got to use the not so – you're the lead corso of the show. Ramble. All right. I want to go against you in every way, shape, or form, but I think this is a very close game until midway through the third quarter, and then Steve Sarkisian and Quinn Ewers, they show their dominance. I think Texas covers easily. I think it's at least a 14-point game when all is said and done.
I love it, man. How about this? Let's pivot to our own kind of locks of the week. We don't have to do – we do that one college football game of the week. I have one lock of the week in college football, Duke at Northwestern. I don't know if you guys, first of all, have you seen their stadium up there?
It's beautiful, but it ain't going to be so beautiful in December.
No, well, it ain't going to be so beautiful this weekend. The wind gusts this weekend are supposed to be north of 20 miles an hour coming off the lake right there.
Punts are going to go backwards.
Duke, my lock of the week is the under 37.5 at that lakefront stadium. How about this? Duke beats Elon last week with a resounding 26-3, and Northwestern beats Miami of Ohio 13-6 a week ago. Oof. Those are two just juggernaut offenses in blustery conditions. Give me the under 37.5 Duke at Northwestern.
All right, my pick, I'm going to go Georgia Tech, Syracuse, carry them. Syracuse can just be so feisty at home regardless of their record. It seems like they gave Clemson fits up there when Clemson was at the height of their powers. Georgia Tech moves to 3-0.
Woo!
Your final score, Georgia Tech 16, Syracuse 12.
Well,
there you go.
I went through the games, and there's only one team I trust in college football right now. And it's Georgia Tech. I took Georgia Tech to cover as well. I took Tech -3 because there's just something about them, right, with the momentum that they have. Them being only a 3-point favorite to me, this ain't the Syracuse team. It ain't the same coaching staff. It ain't the same team that did that against Clemson.
Hadn't the season played out pretty well for them to get that nice victory over Florida State? Georgia State gave them some problems last week, and there were some things in that game Brent Key wasn't happy about. So you get the exhilaration of that win in Dublin, and then Brent Key can kind of chew into them a little bit after that performance against Georgia State. So I think that's probably good.
I used to have a St. Patty's shirt that had the word Dublin on it. I'll let y'all fill in the other blanks for that, and I'll show it to y'all later. Let's get to the Falcons last. How about this? Let's go to our NFL lock of the week. Mine is going to be the Carolina Panthers against the New Orleans Saints under 42. Dude, I get it, man. Both these teams are healthy, but I'm going to have to see it to believe it. I think both of these are great defenses at this point. You look at Carolina's defense, Ajiro Evero is back, in terms of their defense. Under 42 for me, I think Carolina New Orleans looks something like 17-14 this weekend. I'm sticking with that.
All right, my lock of the week, NFL, the other one. Look, Deshaun Watson is back and healthy.
So?
But he's no Joe Flacco running this Browns offense. I don't know how Dallas is an underdog. I don't care where they're playing. 2.5 points, I'm taking the Cowboys and the 2.5 points. They turn the dog pound around. They roll in there. I think they win by at least 5 to 7 points easily.
You know what's going to happen on Sunday at 6 o'clock inside the Signia by Hilton?
Mm.
It's going to be a drunken orgy, my friends.
Oh, gosh.
Drunken orgy. Okay. Falcons 26, Steelers 23.
Yeah. That's your lock? I thought we were doing Falcons last. All right. How about this? I'm going to go Falcons 21, Steelers 17. Falcons cover.
Oof.
Yeah, I think there's more juice for the Falcons coming into this game, and sometimes you can win a game based on offseason juice. You open the season at home. You've got all these new players that you're pumped about. Pittsburgh is a little bit discombobulated offensively with the offensive line being banged up with multiple players. You don't know who's going to play quarterback. Your guy that you named the starter has a calf issue where he's limited. I think that means the Falcons roll. They cover the 3.5.
What was that game in Charlotte, Tennessee, North Carolina State?
That's right.
Tennessee's got that quarterback. What's his name? Nico?
Iamalieva.
Iamalieva.
Yeah.
6'6", magical arm.
He's a beast.
He's a beast, and just a true freshman as well. How good is he going to be next year? Tennessee 38, NC State 35, and a wild one. What y'all got? A lot of silence over here.
Wow, we've already picked four games.
Right? All right, well, there we go. Well, why don't we get to – hey, man, bear – be patient with the old. Let's get to the craziest tie in NFL history. TV's timeout. Just go on with it. All right, well, here we go.
Yeah, we have a system issue.
All right, Steelers-Falcons, 2002, November 10th. Hey, man, you just get on with it. The show must go on. Don't worry about it. Craziest tie in NFL history. I remember this game so vividly. This was probably one of the best football games I've ever seen. And it was physical. It was bloody. It was almost a body bag type game with a lot of scoring. Falcons were down 10 with under 4 minutes left. Steelers are seemingly pulling away, up by like 17 with about 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
Jay Feely hits a field goal to cut it to 7 with just over 2 minutes left in the game, and then Michael Vick took over.
Second gets time. Nobody open. Inside the 10. To the 5. To the goal line. Touchdown!
Yeah, dude, Vic was phenomenal that day. He ran for almost...
Took some shots that day.
Dude, almost threw for 300, ran for almost 50, had two touchdowns. He was absolutely phenomenal. They did hit him, like, to your point. This was a Tommy Maddox game, though.
Tommy Maddox, 473 yards that day, four touchdowns. Ended up losing his job 2 years later to Big Ben.
What year did you say it was, 03?
02.
02.
Over 10.
You'll never believe who ran for 123 yards for the Steelers. I could
Amos Zerowei.
Yes,
it's my segment.
I was gonna tell Mike I could give him 50 guesses. It was unbelievable.
Well, we're trying to get on with it because you took so long during your picks because we had to hear some soliloquy. So you kind of shot yourself in the foot there.
Amos Zerowei.
I'm done with you. I'm not talking to you again till 7 o'clock.
You know, Tommy Maddox backed up Big Ben, got a Super Bowl ring. He was a journeyman on the Falcons practice squad in '97. Man, that year in 02, Falcons finished 9-6-1, won that playoff game in Green Bay, then lost to the freaking Eagles.
Amos Zerowei and Tommy Maddox, the juggernaut that was.
Tommy Maddox could sling it, dude.
Dude, no doubt about it.
He could sling it.
It's just funny, man. I just see Bill Cowher and his lip just all snarled up like it used to have. You know what I mean? That's old school football, man. You said a body bag game, dude. There's some games like that back in the early 2000s, late 90s, man.
Think
back on some of those Packers teams, some of those Denver teams. I mean, geez, dude.
Terrence Mathis was actually on that Steelers team as well.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Isn't that crazy? Yep, that's crazy to even think about. You would think, though, in overtime, the Falcons blocked a field goal and got an interception. You'd think you'd win the game based on those two things, but nope. And Tommy Maddox, there was actually a Hail Mary at the very end of overtime, and Plaxico Burress caught the ball. Tackled at the 1 yard line.
There's a name that this game and the game this weekend has in common.
What's that?
Joey Porter. Joey Porter was on that Steelers team, and now you have his son Joey Porter Jr.
Yeah.
coming to town. As one of the outside corners for the Steelers team. Yeah.
Is his dad still coaching? He was coaching for a little bit. Can't remember where he's at now. He's not part of their system up in Pittsburgh anymore. But he's coaching somewhere, I believe. Can't remember. I'm gonna have to look it up during the break.
All right, where are we going? Let's see. I guess we're going to talk about that game that's going to happen on Sunday, right? In this hour, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And Morgan & Morgan would have come in handy after that game on November 10th, 2002. That was just one of the best football games I've ever seen. All right, more Falcons coming up. Top of the hour. Flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons. Again, Falcons fly over 6 o'clock. Signy at Hilton right by Mercedes-Benz. After what will hopefully be a Falcons victory.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. After each and every Falcons game, it's your time to react with Falcons.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.